Hey, did you know that TGSTS is on YouTube and Instagram? We'd love to hear your episode suggestions or just chat with you about life. So find us at hashtag TGSTS and follow, like, subscribe, comment, and share. Thank you. Cheers.
Oh, you got a new setup, a new background. I like.
Oh, yeah, fancy. Yes. Moved on up.
To the north side.
Uh-oh.
Nice.
Yes. I don't get my car broken.
Free at last.
Not free at last.
Hey, girl.
Hey, Mo, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. Nothing new to report.
We have a special guest today.
Yes, we do. A return guest.
One of our favorite guests and listeners, Broken Traditions. Yay! Now, Broken Traditions, the last time we spoke to you, I think you are a whole different platform. So would love to for you to reintroduce yourself to our audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Also, I'm the most controversial guest, I'm assuming,
according to him.
Yeah, since you said that on the show last time, which I don't think so. I think I'm regular, but whatever. I guess I am the most controversial guest. I'll take the title. But yeah, Broken Traditions, you can find me on YouTube and Instagram as of right now, and or X, but my X is very limited. And I think my Instagram is becoming limited too. I'm getting tired of Instagram. I got a paycheck from Instagram for the whole year, and the paycheck from Instagram is less than what I make on one video on YouTube. So I was like, I don't
what?
Care. I'm like, yeah. It was kind
of disrespectful.
We got to move, Mo.
Yeah. So you can find me on YouTube. Just find me on YouTube. That's where most of my content is at. So that's where I'm at. And I post a video every day, 6 p.m. Monday through Friday. That's
wow.
When I post.
So you're working. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I wake up 5 o'clock in the morning to make a video, and I try to get it finished and done in between working my job by 6 o'clock. So that's the goal.
Oh, wow. I appreciate the hustle. Yeah, that's,
yeah, you gotta hustle. You gotta
real.
If I want
that's what's up to 5 a.m.
Yeah, if I want full-time results, I gotta put full-time effort in. That's how I look at it.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so your platform is about breaking
toxic traditions. So
what's that?
All right, so first I was going to call it, you know, breaking traditions of Black culture, but I'm like, not all Black culture is bad, but The Black culture that we fall into is sometimes toxic, and I think we should break away from it. So I was like, break it away from toxic traditions of Black culture. So I think we should break away from it, and that's what I try to explain and try to do every day at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And well, I guess part of our topic today is about Black culture, the current state of events. You know, DEI is a big hot topic.
Yeah, I didn't know that until y'all sent me the email. I'm like, I was in New York, and I'm like, DEI is a hot topic because I was offline. I didn't know that this was going on until yesterday or 2 days ago when you sent me the new updated email.
So yeah, we talked about reparations. We saw your video where you talked about kind of how New York has signed a bill to just not even open up reparations for voting or anything, just open it up for discussion.
Yes.
And how it's just a way to try to get people to vote for them, just a dangling carrot.
Yeah.
What do you see as reparations? What are reparations?
I think reparations is that, the dangling carrot in front of Black voters, because, you know, it's a sign of you getting something for what your ancestors went through, which is, I think we should have reparations, but you know, they're going to put that in front of us, but they're not going to give us reparations. I don't think no Democrat or no Republican is going to push for it because it's too vague. It's who gets the reparations? Mm-hmm. Really, a descendant of slave.
How and what is it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then now,
how
say
does it look?
Yeah. Say you have a descendant of slave. Say, for example, right? Say Patrick Mahomes' daughter is a descendant of slave, right? She's white with blonde hair and blue eyes, but her grandfather is 100% Black. She could be a descendant of slave. Mm-hmm. So if she was to get reparations, would that be problematic? So it's like, it's just too many variables, I don't think it's going to happen as far as cash payouts. And from what I understand, the last group of people who really got cash payouts was like the Native Americans, and they kind of just pushed them to the side and said, here's some casinos. Don't, we're not worried about you no more. So I don't know, is that what we really want?
I have some viewpoints here. So in school, I did a lot of, scholarly work or whatever. Here's a book. I can hold it up. I can't even. Whatever. Yeah, it's called Reparations. It's Reparations by Alfred Brophy. And it's like an ongoing pro and con debate. And I feel like it's been a debate that's been going on forever. And right. I think that the longer we are removed from the institution of slavery, the harder it's going to be to determine who and what would qualify as reparations. And I think the problem I'm seeing now is we're opening up these discussions, and I think Broken Traditions is correct. It's just a dangling carrot, because they're never going to do it. There's no way to do it. And on the flip side, so if Democrats, I'm supposing it's Democrats that are bringing up the idea of reparations, you look at the conservative side and the conversations, they're trying to completely erase the entire institution of slavery from history. They don't even want to talk. Right. Nikki Haley didn't even want to bring it up when she talks about the Civil War. So until we can come to some sort of consensus, which doesn't look like is going to happen ever, you know, with, given the current climate of our politics, there will never be reparations. Mm-hmm. And I don't think reparations in the United States will ever look like a check. It'll be programs, social programs. I mean, that's part of the argument is that, oh, well, we've created these social programs, whatever. But I think it's we're too far from the original hurt of it for people to buy into the idea of reparations.
Right. I agree.
So we gotta let it go.
Yeah. Or just make it to like, say, if you can prove you're a descendant of a slave, say you don't pay taxes for like 10 years, something like that, just to get you a head up and don't have to give into the government, in which the government did take away from your lineage. I think that's a way of reparations should be. Like, I would be good with that. Like, I would love to see my gross pay for 10 years on my check.
But I think the institutions, so we had slavery, it ended. It wasn't a clean cut. This is the end date. There were still some things going on. Then they had Jim Crow put in, which was just an extension of the ideals of slavery as far as keeping a certain segment of the population down. And that, the messed up part is, I'm sure, I mean, I don't know what everybody's backgrounds here are, but so say I'm a descendant of slaves. My children are descendants of slaves. My children are half white. So it's how do we determine, you're going to be hard pressed to find people who aren't in some way, shape or form, even if they're diluted in their blonde hair, blue eyes or whatever, descendants of slaves here. And I think the outcome or the result of Jim Crow and segregation and all of these laws that were put into place affected not only descendants of slaves, but any person of color, anybody coming from Haiti or the Bahamas or Africa after the fact. Black people in general, based on aesthetics, are being subject to a lot of these discriminatory practices. So then what happens there? Are they entitled to some sort of assistance, or are they entitled to equity or the DEI stuff?
Well, I would say no.
But how do you determine that? Because
I think it has to be, if you could prove direct lineage of slavery and you was a slave in America, that you're affected by slavery. So say somebody's from, like you say, like the Bahamas, and it was a slave in the Bahamas. What happened in the Bahamas is not what happened here. So we need the reparations for people that happened here. So you come from another country, you don't qualify for that, in my opinion. I wouldn't want that person to qualify for it. But, you know, we just talking hypotheticals because, like I said, no political party is going to vote for this because it's too vague. It's too vague. And like I said, just a dangling carrot. You know, like what happened in New York with Kathy Hochul saying that, you know, she's going to push for a study of reparations. The New York government is looking bad in the black eyes because of all the legal migrants coming in and all the resources we going toward the legal migrants. So now you're trying to say like, hey, we're going to do this for you, but you're doing a vague thing. So I think that's all it is. And it's just like the little magic trick, the rabbit in the hat that you could pull out at the end of the act. Just to get votes. And I think that's
in election years, right? They weren't talking about it a year or so ago.
So it's always every 4 years, here come another study, but there's never a test. So I don't see reparations happen. I'm sorry. Like, I mean, I try to get my own reparations, I guess, personally. Like one time.
Try to get checks.
Yeah. So like I lost my job and like 2 weeks later I got another job. But in the meantime of me losing my job.
Nice.
Me being a single parent, I said, hey, I need food stamps. So they let me rock with food stamps for 6 months. So I was like, hey, reparations. So
I don't know.
That's the way we have to do it because we're not going to get it. Like you said, we're not going to get it any other kind of way.
You can't rely on the government to do it.
Why like, is it even a conversation? I feel like it needs to be squashed. To just shut it down.
Yeah,
I believe say, you know.
I believe the same thing.
It's fun to. Yeah, exactly. It's fun to talk about, but it's not fun to, you know, it's not going to happen. So why waste our breath?
I have a question. I posed it to Mo earlier, and this is just devil's advocate, like just a little something. Do we really want reparations? Because I feel like reparations is a way of obviously repaying for past harms, past wrongdoings. But once the reparations are paid, say everybody gets a check, is it over and done with? Like, do we have to stop? Do we, like, Black community, do we have to stop bringing it up, talking about it, et cetera? Is it done? Do you know what I mean? Or...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think that's what it's going to be taken as. I think that non-Black people are going to say, well, you got your check. Stop talking about it. Right?
Right.
And that's not the end of the solution. Because, I mean, like I was saying earlier, slavery as an institution happened. But after that, there were laws put in place. There was segregation put in place, lynchings, et cetera. So there was a period of time where wrongdoings continued to occur. Sure, you were not legally owned by somebody else, but people were still able to kill you, hang you, whatever, and get away with it as if they owned you. So it's not like slavery ended and that was it. There was a long period of almost like an American apartheid that took place. Mm-hmm. There should be reparations for that period of time. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of where I'm coming from, is not everybody who was a descendant of slaves experienced this Jim Crow period, this basis of the color of your skin, not just the lineage from slaves. You were subject to this type of treatment. And so I feel like just America's history is so messed up in the sense that the wrongdoings continued. And you could argue continue to this day. When people, you know, cops are able to just take you out with no repercussions. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but it doesn't look like reparations or a check is going to solve that problem.
No, it's not going to solve it. It's going to make it worse, in my opinion. Like, yeah. I'll take the check if it's coming, but at the same time, you know.
Years of no taxes, I'll take it.
I'll take that. I'll take the check as well. But at the same time, once we take that, if you don't have no financial literacy, if you're so you get the check, you want to buy a Cadillac and put some rims on it, buy Jordans. I'm talking like I'm 2000. But if you want to do something like that, what benefit is that? If you're going to put the money back to the hands of the people who are saying it's oppressing you, what difference does it make?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So honestly, you're going to make those people more rich and you're going to get this exorbitant amount of money, which is going to cause more inflation. So your $20,000 check that said you're going to get might only be worth $2,000. So what, you're going to pay 1 month of rent with that check, and now your ancestors died, and now you got something for their death.
You got some Jordans,
you got some Jordans,
right?
You got a Cadillac, and you got some rims, and you got a gold chain.
Disrespect.
Yeah, that's a mess.
Literally, you're getting chains and whips. So it's just
damn.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. I don't see it being a net positive. I see it being a net negative at the end of the day. If we was to get reparations the way that we move.
Yeah,
it would be gone within a day or two, and then we're back at square one.
I mean, they said the Black dollar circulates in the Black community 6 minutes. So
wow.
Yeah. So how
but I wonder, I mean, that's all part of the system though. That's all part of it. Because there aren't as many Black retailers, Black CEOs, Black this, Black that, Black, as a result of slavery and the institutionalized slavery after the fact. So, I mean, unless we're really looking and trying to find Black entrepreneurs, Black businesses, whatever, we live in a world that's been set up so that there aren't many opportunities for us to put our money back into Black hands. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
the opportunities are there. It's just that we have to do the work to find the opportunity to do it.
Yes.
So like me living in Atlanta, I know so many black owned businesses where I could literally buy everything black owned. That's for my household. But I have to do the work to do it. And also I have to spend extra money because they don't have the funding that, like, say a Tide would have, or say, you know, Dove soap. So it's going to be more money for me to spend. And a lot of times I came across this when I was doing reviews of black owned products. A lot of times the black owned businesses have bad business practices where they will lose their business for whatever reason, or maybe it was just something they wanted to try. Maybe it was a side hustle. So, like, you want to put your support behind something, the next thing you know, it's gone. So it's too many variables.
It's gone, exactly.
Yeah, it happened a lot. I mean, it's so many businesses that I've came across that it's no longer a business, page taken down, or they didn't post nothing since, you know, the last BLM riot back in 2020. So it just...
Well, I think that's where the DEI comes into place, and there's like a war on DEI now, is to create that sense of equality, or maybe equity, or sense of opportunities that are available to everybody, to create more representation in every avenue, at Dove, at wherever, Tide, or all the places that you're talking about. And that's another piece I'm feeling is being put. It seems like there's people want to argue there's equality, and, you know, slavery was such a long time ago when it really wasn't. But there's still practices in place. Every time you try to reach equality, there is a you're met with another argument. And so right now, I think DEI is under attack because it's quote unquote reverse racism or reverse discrimination, whatever made up thing that is. and so that's, I mean, it's what Elon Musk, Mo, you were telling me Elon Musk said, what'd he say? Something about DEI.
Must die.
Yeah. And he should talk. He's from South Africa, isn't he?
Yeah, he's African.
Yeah, so that's what got me talking, you know, thinking about apartheid and reading about that this morning. So it's just,
But DEI is a double-edged sword. So I do believe that there should be opportunities for people of color, which I hate that term, but I think there should be opportunities of people of color to get in positions, because a lot of times, I mean, I went through it. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys went through it where you were qualified for a position, but somebody who didn't look like you got the position that was less qualified. I went through it a few times. So I see that being problematic, but also seeing being problematic that you want to put somebody in that position because they fill out that box.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want my pilot to be a black man that got a D in pilot school because he's black, he's flying his plane. I'd rather have a white guy who got an A.
But why is that always the...
Yes.
Why is that always the comparison? Like,
speak on it, Mo.
To suggest that the black person is getting it because of some kind of... with some kind of ineptitude. It's not what it's about. It's
happens.
DEI isn't even... it's more than about giving a job.
I've got high... We're equally qualified. Basis. And I was...
Were you completely unqualified? You're talking like he got
I got thrown in it because I was black and they needed a black person in his position. That happened to me. I was like, okay, I just had to figure out why the plane is flying. So like, I had to figure it out because it's like, we can't have this white dude here. This white dude is problematic in this area and we need a black person, and you fit the qualifications. Here you go. Here's a job. It happened. So I was like, okay.
And is that a problem though? Is that what, how do you feel about that? Is that as a practice, is that problematic for you?
Yeah, I think it's problematic.
I feel like that's what happens all the time anyways, except reverse.
Yeah, but you still
want to talk about reverse discrimination.
I don't want like, say it was in reverse, like you say, I don't want a white pilot with a D. I'd rather have the black pilot with an A. I want the person that's best qualified for the job. That's what I want. That's in the perfect world of my life. It should be the best person.
What if they got an A because they... their dad knew somebody or something. I mean,
that could be the case too.
So
I think we're living in a world... Go ahead, Mo.
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, I'll say we living in a world where people are getting jobs that got subpar grades because of the color of their skin anyways. So what's the harm in trying to make it equal that everybody gets an opportunity? Because I feel like there's a lot of places that I go where there are white men who are not qualified, but they're, you know, they're holding down the positions and they're out golfing with their buddies and they're doing, you know, that's what we live in. So all of a sudden now people want to be like, well, what's their GPA? Let's look at all their da 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 da. You know, when it's a black person, whereas before it was like, oh, that's so-and-so's son. Yeah, of course you could have the job. Come on. You know? So I mean, there's never going to be an answer. I mean, that's what I'm coming to. There's never going to be an answer. Nobody wants to lose what they feel is their advantage. And we're just going to have to keep trying to fight to this is shitty. We're gonna have to keep trying to fight to prove ourselves, which is dumb because I shouldn't have to prove shit. Yeah. Or take it.
Take it. So I had this conversation with my wife earlier and I was saying,
oh, congratulations, by the way. Oh, ooh, I love you, that. My wife. Look at you.
But I was saying this earlier, like, you know, as far as I think like the Nikki Haley thing, right? Because I was, you know, every time I make content, I always run it by her. So I was like, oh, I'm coming on with Mo and him and this and that. She's like, okay. And I told her about the Nikki Haley and she said how Nikki Haley should acknowledge that slaves were there. And I'm like, what's the point of acknowledging it? What's the point of it? What difference does it make if she's acknowledging it? And he's like, if once you acknowledge it, you can get to the next step of fixing it. But I said, why would that person fix it if that person has an advantage? So if I have an advantage over you, I can acknowledge it, but that don't mean I'm going to do anything about it. That's like somebody saying, like the other day, right? I'll keep it real. I left the house a mess while she was gone and she came home mad. So I can acknowledge the house was a mess. But if I don't clean up, what difference does it make that I acknowledged it? If you're not going to clean up your mess with after acknowledge it, it doesn't make a difference. So Nikki Haley talking about slavery or mentioning that slaves were part of the Civil War, it doesn't make a difference because if she's in that position of presidency, that's what she's seeking out. She's not going to do anything about reparations. She's not going to do anything about doing anything for Black people. That's not her base. That's not her core. So it doesn't matter if she acknowledges it, in my opinion, because an acknowledgement without action is more of a slap in the face to me. Well, the same equivalent in the face.
I hear you, but I think her not acknowledging it is a statement. It's a statement to people because I think that that's an undercurrent, not even an undercurrent. It's a very open
overcurrent.
it's a thing that the Republicans are doing now where they're trying to erase, quote unquote, whitewash history, where they're not acknowledging slavery. They're acting like, oh, you got skills. Why are you mad? Now you got workplace skills as a slave. So you're able to go and join the workforce because you learned so much when you were being a slave. You know, it's so there's a reason she didn't say it.
Yeah, so it's a
not
lot like
of a, it's not a failure to acknowledge. It is an intentional. I didn't say it because it would be unpopular for me to say it because we are all moving in the direction of we don't want to address this. It didn't happen. Everything's cool. And so I think she couldn't say it. And everybody knows the Civil War was about slavery. States' rights, sure. States' rights that allowed you to own people. Like that's what the states' rights issue was. It's slavery. So I just I hate how everybody is tiptoeing around slavery. And then if you are Black and you bring it up, all of a sudden we got to protect white people's feelings because they're sensitive or guilty or feeling whatever it is they're feeling about it. You can't bring it up anymore.
Yeah.
And it seems like a way and of not gaslighting, but I mean, you're not going to make me feel guilty for talking about my ancestors' history because you feel some kind of guilt about it because you don't know what to do with it. Like,
and I think that's the way that politics are now. So it's like, wherever you align with, right? So say you align with the left or the right, you have to speak to that base. So if the right feel like slavery is something they want to whitewash, she can't say certain things.
Right.
So like, for example, what's the lady name, man? The old lady who husband got beat up and stabbed by some dude that he was in his boxes.
Pelosi.
Oh, so yeah. Like,
Nancy Pelosi is saying George Floyd died for our advancement or something like that. Like she had to speak to that core.
Oh, Lord.
A Republican would never say nothing like that, but a Democrat would. So it was like, they would say things like, example, we're doing studies of reparations. A Republican would never say that. It's just the core now. So you have to just funnel into your base, which you've seen with Donald Trump. Donald Trump never really did anything towards the Democrat side because he know his fan base. Donald Trump was a reality star
who was a Democrat his whole life. Right.
Yeah, Democrat for life. And every rap song, and now he's a Republican, and he knows that all he has to do is say things to Republicans in which a life he never lived. You know, so he never lived the life of somebody who lived in the middle of America who can't make ends meet. He never lived that life, but he could speak to that person. The same thing Nikki Haley could speak to her constituents, the same way Nancy Pelosi could do it, or Kathy Hochul, or any politician. They all just speak to their base. They don't speak to the whole country, and that's the problem.
A bigger problem, though, is everybody that you've named was white talking about issues of slavery and reparations. And if you are a Black politician, you can't even bring up race because that's a mark against you. So it's like the people having the conversation don't look like the people the conversation is about. That's the first problem. Like mm-hmm. it's they're talking about one wants to ignore slavery. The other wants to, you know, Nancy Pelosi, whatever she said about George Floyd dying for our advancement or what. I mean, that's ridiculous.
I mean,
but can we get people in the room? This is the DEI moment. Can we get people in the room who look like the people we're talking about? Can you have women in the room talking about women's rights? Can you have Black people in the room talking about reparations and advancement and racism and DEI? Like, it just seems like there's a lot of people talking about us without talking to us to get actual information about what we want.
I think the reason why we have that because Black politicians are like caricatures of a politician. So like, for example, what is it? Jamal Bowman pulling down a fire alarm.
Mm.
Or like, they come up with my wife. Like, where do you find this lady at? Like, you never had a whole, the whole time, now you run a presidency, you come up with a stereotypical politician girlfriend. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, they're playing like caricatures of politicians and they don't want to have those conversations because they're comfy in a position. They get in this absorbent amount of money, have all this insider information to make themselves more and more rich. They're just comfortable and they're going to keep playing the roles of both sides of us. Like, it's just all the politicians are the same thing. So I don't think they want to be that part and have that conversation to make things tough, because once they do, they step out of line, they're going to lose their seat. They're going to lose their position. Yeah. They're going to lose their backing.
Yep.
But maybe it's worth it. Like, when are we going to get to the point where we say we're going to have to make some sacrifices? Maybe it's worth it. Maybe I'm going to have to lose my job. Maybe I'm going to have to lose my position because I'm speaking for the greater, I'm doing for the greater good. But
you're going to get suppressed. And it's going to get, it's too many avenues to suppress your message. You know, like, for example, when I was on TikTok, my son said, "You're not going to last," because he knew my content wasn't going to last on TikTok. I got banned 3 times, not shadow banned. Like, I can't log in no more. 3 times.
Yeah.
I
have to make
So he knew that was going to happen because of my content. And it's like, they're going to keep suppressing messages. They don't want their messages to get out. People who have this, you know, it's like a more populitarian type of mindset. It always gets shadow banned, it always gets suppressed. And it's just about us versus them. So us could be a Republican, us could be a Democrat, but it got to be us versus them, to the point that we can't even have conversations no more. How many people lost family members because you voted for a certain politician? I mean, I posted a video, a guy said, "If anybody in my family vote for Joe Biden, we got to fight." How is that so extreme that you want to fight your family member?
Fight.
I want to physically fight you because you voted for Joe Biden. That's extreme.
Oh, like, Lord.
Very.
Yes. But that's where we are as a country. And this was a Black man saying that. So, I mean, like, I have family members who was upset that I didn't vote for Biden. I didn't vote for Trump or Biden. But since I didn't vote for neither one of them, I'm seen as, I can't talk to you no more. I'm like, okay, bye.
Mm.
Exactly. Bye. Like, you're not going to force me to vote outside of my beliefs or practice outside of my beliefs for what? Your favor? What's that going to do?
Or just picking a lesser two evils. Like, if I feel both of these people are not confident for the job, why would I even be in a position to put myself in any kind of faith of somebody? I didn't like Biden. I didn't like Trump. I'm like, I don't like neither one of them.
Yep.
I just thought Trump
That's
was
where
funny.
I am now. I used to do the lesser of two evils as well. Like, you know, like, at least you got to get the lesser of two evils. But now I'm like, no, I'm not putting my, I'm not, if there's no one for me to vote for, then I'm not able to vote.
Yeah.
I think it's a mess. I mean, vote whoever you want to vote for, but just the idea that we are at the point where we're so polarized that we are going to fight family members because they view things differently. I just found out recently, I cannot stand Trump, but I found out a close friend of mine was like, you know what? After the last few years, the economy, the way my pocketbook is looking, I voted for Biden. I'm not voting for him again. I might vote for Trump, is what she said. And I was taken aback by it, but I'm not going to kick her out of my house and kick her ass. You know what I mean? Like, what? What? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't think just like me, I hate you, is basically what people are doing now. And it's unreal.
Yes.
Like, they're getting violent. Yes, and you should die because you don't think like me. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So how could we even have a conversation about reparations or equality for all when you want to kill somebody who doesn't like Trump or doesn't like Biden? Like, that's insane.
Oh, don't like neither.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's just, if you don't agree with me, we're getting violent.
Yeah,
like, this is not a sane world.
There's no more civil discourse. There's no more conversation where, you know, my position may sway your position or vice versa. Like, we can have a conversation. Yeah. Now it's just flat out, this is what I am, this is what I believe, and I'm going to die with this. I'm going to die on this hill. There's no way of convincing me. And that's where we get. And that's very unfortunate, because nobody's going to grow like that.
No. And it's going to get more violent.
Nobody's listening.
The idea, though, that things don't go your way, so I will not accept them. I mean, whatever people are thinking about the insurrection today versus 2 years ago, three years ago, whatever it was. Like, the idea that that is the solution to something you feel was incorrect or wrong. So I'm kind of scared for the next 12 months, because I feel like there's a lot of stuff that's about to unfold or whatever. And if people are upset, I don't think it's going to be, out of line for me to think, hey, something's going to happen. Something bad can happen.
I feel like something is going to happen, because Trump is not going to be on the ballot. Trump is not going to win. Biden is going to win in 4 years.
I feel like with how old both of them are, I mean, we could talk about age, but I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for some natural events to occur where we don't have one or both of those candidates. Yeah. They're old as hell. This is ridiculous.
I mean, all the Republican nominees or Republican candidate nominees, I can't see none of them beating Biden. Except for Trump, and they take Trump off the ballot. So how come Biden's not going to be the president?
I feel like Nikki Haley might be able to. I feel like so many people were burned after Hillary, women, that they may just say, fuck it, let's do it. We got to get a woman in there.
For a Republican woman?
I'm not saying I would. I'm not saying what I'm going to do. But to be able to claim that my party did it first, I feel like that's a big motivator. And just to beat him, because they don't want, I mean, Biden's, he's not a legitimate president. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. But I think, you know what, more realistically, if Trump is not on the ballot, which I mean, I guess we'll see, because the Supreme Court's going to take that up. If Trump is not on the ballot, I think we may have more to worry about than whether or not we have more to worry about as if, like, are we even having an election? Like, what is the state of affairs going to look like? Because I think that's a violence inducing act to remove him as an option. For people, that's scary.
Yeah,
well, he's got his Supreme Court to save him, so there's that.
We'll see. He even has his attorneys on Fox News talking about Brett Kavanaugh. You know, Trump really had your back, so I'm sure they'll do the right thing. As if that should be allowed. I mean, where's his gag orders? I feel like the gag orders, something ain't right, because that's threatening.
Something's
speech,
not right,
you know.
We have the internet. Everybody's able to, you know, a press of a button, broadcast to the whole world that it's like there's no respect for anything. There's no respect for the Supreme Court. And sometimes they can't even be taken seriously based on their behavior. They're not holding themselves up to the level of the respect that position's supposed to deserve. Right. So it feels like everything is a joke. Like, nobody's taking anything seriously. And Trump may be the next president. It's a possibility.
I don't see it happening. It's too many powers that be that just don't want him on the ballot, let alone him being the next president. I don't see that. And I think the reason why they don't want to put Trump on the ballot, because Trump will win the popular vote by a landslide, but I don't think they're going to make him president. I don't think they're going to do it.
He's never won a popular vote. He's going to win the popular vote by a landslide?
If he was in the presidential election for the Republican or even independent, I think he will win the popular vote by a landslide, but I don't think the government want Trump to be back in office.
Yeah, that's why. I don't even think Republicans in the government want him back in office, but I don't understand why they can't take it upon themselves to handle that. I mean, they had many opportunities, the second impeachment, all kind of stuff, but they just following behind him like nobody's
because the people love him.
And also, to go back to what I said, the reason why they won't do it, because they have to talk to their base. So they're not going to disrespect their base by disrespecting Trump. Once they disrespect Trump, they're going to be seen as traitors. Look at Mike Pence. Mike Pence is basically a war.
Cheney. What's her name? Liz Cheney. Her too.
Yeah. So, like, anybody who turned back to the party, you know, everybody's seen them as sellout. So why would they do that? They'd rather just kind of, same thing. Trump is like, the reparations for the conservatives. They keep dangling the carrot of Trump being maybe on the ballot, but they're not going to put him on the ballot because the Republicans don't want it. That's their dangling carrot. So our dangling carrot is reparations. Conservative to Donald Trump.
Oh, we'll see. We'll have to have you back on after just to wrap it up and see if we were right with our predictions.
Yes.
I don't know.
I think I'm right. I don't know yet. We'll see.
I hope you're right.
You heard it here first.
Yeah. Well, you hope I'm right that Biden's going to win for another 4 years?
No, just that Trump's not on the... I would. You know what? I voted for Biden. I would much rather see brand new people. I just scrap the whole thing and let's start over because the options are not.
Yeah,
they're not.
Yeah, right. I wish that was the case, but from what I heard, I could be mistaken that nobody's going to run against Biden on a Democratic ballot.
Who do we have? There's no bench. I feel like we were so invested in Obama for so long, and then we just took Obama Jr. Biden, whatever, and put him up in there. We haven't developed anybody. There's nobody.
What's the guy in California?
They need to have a machine.
Gavin Newsom. I've heard his voice or his name thrown around a lot, but
I heard Michelle Obama. So I don't know. I mean,
how's she going? Like the
Oprah.
I love Michelle, but come on, we're not just gonna throw any old person.
That's what I heard. I mean,
at this point,
I heard The Rock.
I vote for Mo.
There we go. Mo and
hell no. Never.
Evan Mo in the White House.
Yes, I'll visit though.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well,
any final thoughts?
Thank you for having me on. You know, the most controversial guest. I guess I have to wear that moniker, but yeah, thank
you. We'll make you a t-shirt.
Yes.
Whoever got the cricket machine, dude, you can just send it over. Okay.
All right. Well, we'll have to have you back on to see if we were right about our predictions. Okay.
Thank you for having
me. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks a lot, Broken Traditions.
No problem.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you.